So today we're going to try and do something a little bit different. Shane, why don't you tell everybody about our new idea?
Sure. So we've been talking about this for a while and finally got off our lazy asses and did something about it. Well, I mean, it seemed like a good... It's actually Labor Day today as we're recording, and we thought we'd do something special for the holiday and work a little longer since it is Labor Day. So we've been talking about doing a new segment for a little while now where instead of taking an album and discussing the album, we'll take an individual song and just spend 5-10 minutes talking about that song. And today, later in the show, we will do a whole album, but right now, we each pick 2 songs, so we're going to do
as a way of kind of introducing the segment that we're going to call, Ryan.
We're going to call it A Few Minutes With.
Yay, you got it right.
Yes, there you go. Typically, like, we'll just have these little bits that we may sprinkle in episodes, or we may put them up there as one-offs. Like, we sort of haven't figured out how we're going to deliver all of them. But for this one, we thought as a special episode, we'd kind of, like, do our version of a mixtape for you guys.
Somebody Likes It Palooza was bandied about, I believe, at some point.
The holiday extravaganza. But I like when you said a very special episode, it made me think of, like, very special episodes in the 80s.
Blossom.
Nancy Reagan will drop by.
And tell kids not to do drugs.
Exactly. Yeah.
What was it? Walker Told Me I Got AIDS.
That is the best Conan clip ever.
And have you seen, like, Haley Joe, and we won't sidebar this for too long, but Haley Joe Osment showed up in the Funny or Die thing that just got nominated for an Emmy not too long ago, I don't know what they call it. But anyways, it's clearly, like, that guy did not age well.
Well, it happens.
So, anyway.
To the child
actors.
Yes.
So it's this week's version of Somebody Likes It.
And, Kevin, this one is your selection.
We'll get to that in just a second. But first, let's play the theme music.
Let's do that.
Thank you, everybody. Welcome to Somebody Likes It. And as Ryan let us all know, it should be noted, by the way, that Ryan's been celebrating Labor Day already today.
It's true.
Before.
I did happen to go to a late night gathering last night, and it lasted.
Oh, how did that mesh with your schedule?
Yeah, it was oddly not a problem.
Right, for those of you who don't know, Ryan tends to be somewhat nocturnal. So that's
somewhat nocturnal.
As in an owl is somewhat nocturnal.
As the story goes, our folks took me home from the hospital, and I slept the entire day and was up the entire night.
And things haven't really changed
a lot since then. But in any case, what we're doing today is our little new segment.
A Few Minutes With.
That's it.
it's that new. Like,
what's it called again?
Yeah. Yeah.
A Few Minutes With. And today's A Few Minutes With, Kevin picked, and it's Flesh for Lulu.
Well, and actually, so to circle back to the top, we each chose a couple of songs, and we're going to put these together as an episode, right, Shane?
Yeah.
So, our Labor Day extravaganza.
Yes. So think of this as this is our version of cooking out.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. So
it's a whole hell of a lot cooler.
Staying in
here.
And talking on microphones.
Yeah. So anyway, the first song that we're going to discuss in this segment is a song by a band called Flesh for Lulu called I Go Crazy.
Best band name ever.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty great. And if you're wondering, they're not off tip of your tongue, they weren't. I guess they have recently reformed in the last year and a half with a different lineup. But up to that, they were a band from like 1982 to 1992. And they're best known for this song. And it's because this song was in a John Hughes movie.
Some Kind of Wonderful.
Where we won't give away the plot if you somehow manage to still not have seen it. But
But anyway, missing a whole lot.
It's
a lesser work. It's in the Hughes oeuvre
pantheon. Yeah. It's a yeah. So, but I thought one of the things that, about this song, and it just popped up on cable radio not very long ago, and I thought, I hadn't heard that song in years, and B, like, this is one of those songs that totally sounds like a time capsule to me, like. Very much time capsule.
That's my big note with exclamation point. I had never heard this song, unlike you guys, and it's got a catchy chorus. It sounds like, I don't know. I'm guessing 85, 86.
Right, 85.
It sounds like 1980.
I got a couple things here. The three of us just watched the first about minute and a half of this video, and B. One of the notes I wrote down when, air quotes, researching this song was Q, colon, Daddy, what were the 80s like?
Oh, yeah.
And just dial this up, because here you go, sweetheart. I got it for you in 3.5 minutes.
Whereupon she would say, I don't get it.
My notes are, most amazing clothes ever, in all caps. The singer's wearing a Batman t-shirt, leather jacket with studs on it, cowboy boots with his jeans tucked into them. And they're not just cowboy boots. They're amazing.
Well, and they're kind of like the Billy Idol take on cowboy boots, like studded and, like not quite.
Well, and the whole thing is shot and edited like a corporate video, like a corporate training video.
Yeah. All right. Well, a couple of things I wanted to bring up about this this song and this band that I thought were pretty interesting. One of them is they put out an LP prior to getting noticed by, I guess, John Hughes or whoever is putting together the music for his movies. The impression that I always got was that he was heavily involved in that particular part of his films. But they put out a mini LP in 1985 that featured a cover image of two nuns kissing that apparently, not that, comparatively not that shocking this day and age, but the thing that I thought was interesting is that at that time it was pretty shocking. Shocking enough that that mini LP got banned in the U.S. and Europe. And if you can't sell your album in either all of the U.S. or all of Europe,
those are kind of the markets that you're looking for.
Maybe you can corner Iceland. I don't know. Yeah. Like,
that's insane. I have no idea.
And so I think maybe they wrote a little bit of the wave of that controversy to help get signed. But, I Go Crazy was featured in Some Kind of Wonderful and came out on Beggar's Banquet. So, like, it at the time, when they were riding the crest, they were really riding the crest.
Did you guys like the song?
I thought it was fine. It wasn't heinous. What it definitely seemed to me like, though, was, like, those guys kept, like, stepping on all the landmines that would, like, earmark them to their particular genre and year. It reminded me, okay, so there's a line in the song that says, isn't that nice like Miami Vice?
Oh, yeah.
Like, reminded me that this guy who otherwise was like kind of a popular bad boy type when I was in high school got drunk one night and got a tattoo on his arm of Bart Simpson saying, don't have a cow, man. And that is
kind of like Shane's tattoo.
Yeah. And like, man, he regretted it almost immediately.
But to his credit, that show's still on the air, which is more than can be said about Miami Vice.
Yeah, but like, you remember when there was a giant Simpsons craze and like everybody was wearing the T-shirts and it was like the first year or two of that show being around and Don't Have a Cow Man was like a thing that entered like the national lexicon and he went and got the tattoo. And that band like seemed to like just, hit all those markers.
I would definitely agree with that. I watched the video I watched the video for all of the songs we're going to do today because this is the first one I listened to, and it seemed so integral to understanding what was in the band's mind or what they were thinking at the time as far as putting themselves out image-wise. Because this is a pop song, and the image is pretty important typically with that stuff. And that said, I feel like they were their influences a lot. NXS is all over it.
Certainly.
The list goes on and on. Bands that were popular at the time.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you certainly can make the, especially with some of these bands that didn't end up having a whole catalog full of hits, like, they kind of wear their influences on their sleeve, and I think that these guys do that. So, we're getting to the place where we should probably play the track.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's play a clip and move on to the next one.
All right, this is Flesh for Lulu. When we come back, we'll have a different track to talk to you guys about.
We're back with Somebody Likes It and our new segment, A Few Minutes With, correct?
Yes. You're like two for
put
three.
Some claps in there.
Yeah.
Goddamn right. So this one was mine, which I chose because it just, The next track. Yeah. It's Tracy Ullman and her song. It's actually a cover of a Kirsty MacColl tune, which I did not know, but called They Don't Know. Which I recall from my childhood watching MTV, like just an amazing song, and I just thought it was bizarre that like this woman with this big comedic land breaking background had this perfect pop song back in the '80s that she'd recorded, and she just went on and just had an acting career.
Well, it kind of came at the height of it's. A certain ascent of her fame, right? Like, she was very visible in comedy when that song
It was
came
the
out.
Ascent, yeah. Like, she was on the way up. But, I don't know, it just seems like a bizarre sidetrack to have this great pop song on your resume, and meanwhile, you're basically known for being a comedic actress.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. Please.
I was just going to say one thing that struck me about this track today, upon listening to it, but not until today, was that it has a very ABBA palette, which didn't occur to me until I heard it today.
I can see it. It's sort of the timbre of her voice. I think sounds,
well, in the harmonies. And,
well, sonically, yeah. It sounds more like a 60s girl group kind of.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, I can once you say that about ABBA, it makes sense.
I don't mean that with any of the inherent ABBA baggage attached, I think it's a really well done pop song and layered in a similar way to a certain extent.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
And there's a twist because we did watch the video.
Watched the video, and can either of the two of you enlighten us as to who posted the video on YouTube?
A user named Joe Stalin.
And what does his avatar look like?
Joe Stalin.
Yeah.
Who, if you're wondering, is not just a guy. That was
He was a man who killed millions of people in the former Soviet Union.
But apparently has a soft spot.
But he's got a soft spot for Tracy Ullman pop songs from the '80s. So you know, glad that he's making back some of his karma.
Sure. Yeah. The softer side has him favoring songs that have videos where.
Well,
people
and
go
that's
shopping.
You know, that's a compilation album waiting to happen. The softer side of Joseph Stalin.
Sure. Is it him? Is it he's performing the songs himself, like singing the song in like a bad?
Yeah, I hope so.
Maybe with like Peaches and Herb backing him up.
Peaches like, and Herb and Joseph Stalin,
a bad 70s reject backing band.
Yeah. So
we did watch the video.
Yeah. And as far as I know, like.
Technical difficulties.
We should review one of your songs one of these days, Ryan.
Well, that's just the kernel. You know, I've yet to write the bridge. Good times, y'all. Anyhow, we were talking about They Don't Know.
in the video.
Well, and I was in the middle. I was starting to make a point, which was that I'm not aware of other tracks that Tracy Ullman put out. Did she have a whole musical career?
She must have. I mean, this was at least on a record, which I have not taken the time to seek out.
Yeah, I had no idea she had any career at all. When you sent this song over to me, I was like, is this the same chick that had the show that The Simpsons started on?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, can we work The Simpsons into every song somehow today?
apparently, it's a pattern.
I just realized
Also, Kirstie McCall wrote this, which we spoke about on the last podcast.
That's true, we did.
Because of her oddly prescient song or album title, Tropical Brainstorm, which is a macabre story, but she was decapitated
by a boat
a tropical climb,
which doesn't necessarily have a ton to do with the performing and success of this song. Except
well,
for
I will say this:
he was bound and determined to work that shit in there somehow.
I will say this: so she wrote this song. She also in the middle of this song, there's a very prominent baby. And that is Kirstie McCall. She actually sung that part on that. It's analogous to Leonard Bernstein in It's the End of the World as We Know It by R.E.M. So it's like that song's
Did Leonard Bernstein actually yell out Leonard Bernstein?
Well, no, he didn't. But it's
I fail to see the connection.
It's where the song stops and like everybody who knows the song sings along all at once that part.
There's a nugget. There's something you can hang your hat on.
Something like that,
yeah,
yes.
Vocally.
Well, I think it's a beautiful song. I had never heard it before, and thank you, Ryan, for...
Happy to do it. I think it's a genius track, and it, you know, like, and just bizarre.
Why don't we play a clip from the track?
All right.
Let's do it.
This is it.
So the one point that we did not point out, and I just want to say point a lot more pointedly. the twist at the end of the Tracy Ullman They Don't Know video is that Paul McCartney ends up replacing her erstwhile husband, partner, Bo Hunk.
Well, yeah, I mean, we should at least give a little bit of the setup for the video. So in the beginning, the whole song is about how they don't know about, and it's about... She and her
high school love, and they end up together, and he's kind of a greasy, you know, sketchy type, and she ends up with a baby, and she's
not trying
strolling through a grocery store, and at the end of the video, she's in a car with Paul McCartney.
And the kid's gone, and the other guy's gone, and she looks.
And it's back
happy.
To the fantasy. Well, in the beginning of the video, it says across the windshield it says Paul and Tracy, and I guess that's her husband's name too. And at the end, it says Paul and Tracy, but
he's
replaced
been replaced
with Paul
by Paul McCartney.
And it's fantasy.
The
land
cute
again.
Beetle. Yeah.
Okay, boys.
Let's move on.
Yeah,
we are moving on.
All
so
right.
This one's Shane's.
Yeah. So okay, I. Decided the two songs that I picked are thematically linked in the sense that I tried to get two songs that came out relatively close to each other that were as far apart polarity wise as I possibly could, and one of the polls here is More Than Words by Extreme. Massive.
I'd just like to take a moment to show you guys a picture of Extreme.
It's amazing.
We're looking at a band shot.
Man, that is a handsome bunch of dudes.
A lot of hair in that.
Lots of hair.
They're oozing sincerity.
There are lots of locks of love.
One of my notes about the video, and again, I watch the videos for all of these songs, and a lot of my notes are about the videos, because I really feel that a lot of what the artists are attempting to convey.
Or their management or their label.
No. But a lot of it could be a creative decision, you know, especially at the, you know, at that time. I don't know, whatever, in the infancy. Not that it was the infancy of videos, but it was a long time ago.
Back when MTV showed videos?
Exactly.
Yes.
when music television had music on it?
I just now realized that this is it's not a haiku, but it does. Well, okay, so the video sets up in the very beginning, and I remember there was a big schism in the band at the time because it's just the singer and the guitar player performing on the song, and the label picked it as the single, and it really pissed off the drummer and the bass player because they're not in it. So they have to show them in the beginning of the song.
Standing around?
No. The bass player turns off. When the video opens, it opens with a buzz, and then the amp is clicked off, and then the camera pans back, and you see it's the bass player taking off his bass. And then a few seconds later, you see the drummer putting down their sticks, and there's no smiles on their faces. They're basically walking away in disgust. And so it's just the two of them. Nuno Bettencourt was the guitar player. I don't know. Gary Cherone.
Yeah. Gary Cherone.
How the fuck do we know those dudes'
because
names?
Because he briefly
was in Van Halen.
Yeah.
Yes, but so I
had Van Cherone.
It's just them. It's just the two of them singing, and my notes for that is, and it's, I wish I had written it as a haiku because it's almost there. It says, amazing hair, good harmonies. Are they singing to each other? Because they're looking at each other as they sing these words.
Well, Kevin was the one who actually pointed out the actual meaning of the lyrical content to me at the extant time of this song's cultural
zeitgeist or whatever.
Zeitgeist, yeah.
I want
to
know.
Do you have any idea what you said to me back then?
I don't know what I have. I actually have a separate anecdote, but I don't remember what I said to you. What did I say to you?
You said, man, everybody's thinking this is like the world's most romantic song, but it's basically a dude just trying to convince his girlfriend to fuck him.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And more than words is all you have to do. I have another note here. It's like, is this one long, very creepy seduction?
So this is a totally true story. A couple of summers ago, my family and I went to a wedding, a friend of my wife's, and this was the song that they played for the bride.
Oh, no.
Lovely.
And it's like, clearly no one had ever listened to
no,
it.
No, that's like doing every step you take.
Yeah,
or every breath you take.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, like, you know, Sting is on record going, like, when people tell him, like, hey, that was our dance at our wedding, he's like, well, good luck.
Anyway, yeah, we were just sitting there watching it, you know, and it cues up or whatever, and they're dancing, and it's a very sweet moment if you can't hear what the song is, but we're standing there going, oh, this maybe not the right choice.
How did you guys feel about the actual song itself?
I mean, it's a pretty little ballad, you know, if you're not paying attention, like, I could see how it could be construed as romantic.
I kind of thought the same thing.
Syrupy, but
when the song came out, it definitely. I mean, you were nowhere near it if you had any shred of self-respect in the circles I ran in. But now, re-listening to it,
the very attractive girl I happened to luck into dating when I was in high school loved this song, and I do remember dancing slowly with her to it at some point.
Was it worth more than words?
Well, I won't talk exactly about what my anatomy was doing at the time, but
come on. Foul.
We don't need to. It is incredibly sappy, but I mean, it's essentially just a guitar and two guys harmonizing, and the two-part harmonies are really pretty.
No, the music's not terrible. The words are kind of deplorable.
Well, I found an excerpt from a site called popdose.com, which is not one that I know, but there was one little snippet of this that I thought was pretty interesting. And this guy says, how many times must you hear a song before you get sick of it? 10, 50, hundreds? By the time More Than Words hit number one in June of 1991, it seemed as though you could hear it on commercial radio all day, every day. As soon as it finished on one top 40 station, you could flip the dial over to an AOR station soon as the AOR station was done with the 5.5 minute album version, not the 4 minute single edit, you could flip over to another top 40 station, and then when they were done playing it, you could hit it on Adult Contemporary and so on and so on. So anyway, like, it was everywhere for a little while, and it's another one of these that kind of gets...
It was ubiquitous.
Yeah,
it was ubiquitous, but I think part of the reason why is because Extreme was a, you know, quote-unquote hard rock band, hair metal band, I guess. I don't. But they were part of that oeuvre, which, again, is another word I guess we're going to use
today.
They
were Bon Jovi light, which I didn't realize actually could exist. But
they're extreme.
Yeah, super extreme. But by the way, Shane pulled up... Extreme lyrics earlier. Yeah,
they were the Mountain Dew of lyrics, apparently.
Yeah.
Exclamation point like a musical.
All right, well.
All right, kids, we should move on.
Yeah, why don't we go ahead and play some of the song? Oh, let me just say one other thing. Oh, I was just going to make this point. You know, people that listened to Bon Jovi at the time that thought that Bon Jovi was hard rock and metal.
Dangerous.
Were dangerous. Would listen to this kind of song just because these guys had long hair, not thinking about the fact that it was, in effect...
Shane, okay. I got to stop here. They also had ripped jeans.
Oh, yeah, and vests. they weren't thinking about the fact that... I've completely lost my point once you said, let's just play the goddamn song.
All right, here it is. More Than Words.
Say I love.
Sure, as many acts have said, hard to follow that. But let's talk a little bit about the second track that I chose, and it's the big Space Hogs single, In the Meantime.
In the Meantime, which, can I just say that when I was searching for this, I accidentally put a space between space and hog, and Google said, did you mean Space Hog? And I got to thinking about the difference between the band and, like, an actual space hog, like a guy who lives in your dorm, who's taking up all the room.
That's a totally different version of space hog. Or, like, I mean, it could be, I don't know, like, I think I roomed with that guy in college.
Yeah. We all
so,
have.
So Kevin. Here's the big question that I had. I don't know what it is about this song, but this I can listen, like, the first time that I heard this song, I thought, that's all that band's got. Like, this is the only song that they're ever going to
own.
Like,
yeah.
Like,
oh, you're completely right. Yeah, yeah. My friend owned that record, and I was thinking the same thing, and basically he gave it one listen all the way through. We were in the car. He had just bought it. He listened to it all the way through.
Yeah.
We turned around and he went back and he returned the CD.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, and Shane and I, as Kevin knows, but... those of you out in the great listening public maybe don't know, Shane and I used to work together in a musical capacity, and we had some friends who were in a band. I won't name them, but you probably know who I'm thinking of. But I remember you specifically going, like, you know, they got a demo deal with a major label, and you going, like, man, I'm worried that they're just going to turn out like Space Hog.
I don't remember that at all. Well, I'm pretty sure I know who you're talking about, though.
Yeah.
But I guess this is what I mean. This is the bigger question that I'm asking. It's like, so I have two talents as far as I know. One is that I can tell without adding it up in my head about within about a dollar about how much money I've spent at the grocery store, just by you put stuff in the cart, you don't pay attention to what
that's
they are.
Amazing.
It's a weird, like, that's a, it's a,
you should
it's
really
a, it
take
a,
that act on the
market. It is a non-marketable skill.
Yeah.
And the other
is going Price is Right.
Be like the amazing dude. You could wear like a turban with a feather.
The amazing grocery store shaman.
Guess people's grocery bills.
Bunch of unimpressed moms.
Yeah. That's like, going to be my punk band.
The unimpressed moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the other is that, and I, and you know, I have no statistical analysis behind this, but I feel by and large, I can hear a one-hit wonder song for the first time, having never heard it before, and tell you that that band, I don't care what the rest of their catalog sounds like, has nothing else but
that. Well, okay, like, you're right, and I feel like I have that same gene. We're from the same gene pool, and not just because our mother's name is Gene.
Sorry,
dad joke. But I did think that about Radiohead Creep. And we won't sidebar on that too much, but like I absolutely thought that was this equivalent.
You know what, Ryan?
Pablo Honey.
Me too, and we were all proven wrong.
We were all proven wrong.
Well,
and
I
later on
that.
We're gonna talk about how wrong we were because I got something coming up.
Well,
however,
go ahead.
So can we talk about the nicknames of these dudes?
Well, let's talk about the fucking song first before we get to the
let's talk about
nicknames.
The fucking song.
So, this is one of those bands that I think maybe the reason that I – like, I really – I still dig this song. Like, I know – it's like – it's cotton candy. Like, I know what I'm getting is, like, there's – it's never going to go
it's
any
a, it's
further
a, it's
than,
a sugar rush.
Yeah, it's a sugar rush, and then that's the end of that.
Yeah.
But this is one of those – this is one of those acts that I think that I – one of the reasons that I originally dug this song is because you can hear the influences again here. Like, this is – there's some Bowie in there and some T-Rex and –
Definitely.
Like – Yeah, you know, these guys are wearing their – and they're originally – you know, the whole thing is like they're from Leeds, but they met in New York, and, you know, it sort of sounds like that.
I believe this is the one, and I hope I'm not bleeding into something else. One of them had a job catching rats.
Yeah, these guys.
Yeah, like, and they met while one of them had a job catching rats.
I wonder if it was the Rat King.
Yeah, I anyhow.
It's a 30 Rock reference. I'm sorry.
I don't know what you're talking about, but
it's
sure, man.
Long story. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, one of them was a rat catcher professionally.
Yeah, so that's like a real seedy UK kind of profession.
It is.
Oh my god, I'm gonna have to talk about this at some point at length in the future. But Crispin Glover put out an album. Crispin Helgen Glover put out an album many years ago, and the first song on it is called Rat Catching, and it's just him reading nonsensical ramblings about catching rats while like carnival music plays in the back. It's amazing.
That sounds about right. You know what his easy chair is?
No.
It's a gynecological chair.
Yeah, he's an odd dude. All right, back to Space Hog. Sorry about that.
Back to Space Hog.
So anyway, yeah, I think that I thought it was interesting because this is another one of these deals where because of this one song, because of In the Meantime, that first record sold 500,000 copies and these guys carved a whole
career.
And
that would never happen again.
No, it'll never happen again. But beyond that, like, they carved out a whole career as the undercard on major tours. Like, they opened for Oasis. Like, they had a whole thing.
They had a single.
Well, and by the way, I don't know if you know this, Kevin, our podcast mate has opened for Oasis.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So, moving on. Yeah. The bass line is what makes this song, I think.
Yeah, that's
because,
true.
And it's certainly not the fucking lyrics in it. And can I please read you some of them? Okay. Here's the first verse of In the Meantime. And in the end, we shall they sound like Rush lyrics or something. And in the end, we shall achieve in time the thing they call divine. And all the stars will shine for me when all is well and well is – wait. When all is well and well is all for all. Let's just ponder that line one more time. When all is well and well is all for all. Forever after, living in the meantime, wait and see. And here's the chorus. We love the all of you, where lands are green and skies are blue. When all in all, we're just like you, we love the all of you. Genius.
What's not to like about
that? How many times can he use the word all?
Well, at least, I don't
or
know,
you.
Eight?
I'm sorry, I was napping. What just happened?
Like that's he's got it and he sings it in this incredibly it's this very serious, very tremulous voice, singing these nonsense words. And when I cry for me, I cry for you with tears of holy joy for all the days still to come. And did I ever say I'd never play or fly toward the sun?
So it's hard to crack the case, the conundrum and mystery that is the Space Hog single. In the meantime, let's wrap this segment and play a little bit of it. What do you say?
I think that's
let's
a good
do
idea.
It.
All right, here it is. In the meantime.
Somebody Likes It and A Few Minutes With, and in this occasion we are, well, we've just watched the magnum opus that is Paranoid Android by Radiohead, and it turns out my brother and good friend Kevin Newsom has actually never seen this video. So
this is the next track
it.
We're going to cover,
this
right?
is the next track we're covering is Paranoid Android off of OK Computer.
Ryan chose this one.
I did. And so Kevin had somehow never seen this video.
If I saw it, I didn't recollect it. And you would think it's not the kind of thing you would easily forget.
It's not the kind of thing you'd forget.
Yeah.
So I'm curious as to your thoughts, just having seen this, you know, fresh.
Well, I watch a lot of cartoons. And
like this?
None that are like this. This is like a sort of more violent Fritz the Cat. But the thing that I thought was particularly fascinating was the idea that those kids in that video get the same cab in New York City twice. Like, that never happens.
That's your takeaway.
Yeah. Well, it's one of them.
Yeah.
The whole time since we watched it, you're sitting here like, God damn, that's amazing.
They got the same cab.
Is he just waiting there? Why would that happen?
Not that the dude chopped off his limbs and fell into...
An angel picked him up in a helicopter.
Yeah, sure. And there were mermaids involved and all that stuff.
Yeah, so this record came out in 97. I moved back to Austin. I had a brief sojourn, not brief enough, in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And when
you
I came
back... You had
just
moved back.
I had just moved back, and Shane and I were kind of simultaneously discovering this record. I guess I had bought it in Indiana and came back. Shane, you want to tell the story?
Yeah, so I'm going to tell one story. I'll tell this story real quick, and then we'll get to the song after that. But so we have a friend who's been mentioned before. His name is Chris, but he goes by the moniker Big Daddy. Big Daddy enjoys the alcohol more than
a lot
most people I know, and that's saying a lot coming from.
And he's not particularly big, right?
No, he's big.
No, he's pretty big. Okay. He's not particularly fat. But
okay.
So one night we had gone out. And Ryan and I were sitting in, and Ryan was driving. I was sitting in the passenger seat, and Big Daddy was in the back. And we were listening to this record, and we kind of forgot about him being in the back. And then we got back to my apartment, and Ryan parked, and he's like, "All right, let's listen to Paranoid Android." And so we just sat in the car and listened to the whole song. And for those of you that don't know this song, when Ryan says magnum opus, he's referring to the fact that it's a suite. It's in three very distinctive parts in the song. It's incredibly complex melodically and harmonically, not to mention...
A lot of thought went into the composition and execution of this song.
It's one of the more ambitious pop singles to ever have been released, in my opinion. Having said that, we're sitting there. The song ends, Ryan turns the car off, and before either of us can say anything, Big Daddy from the back seat goes, "I don't know, it sounds kind of simple to me."
And we both turn around like, "What the fuck? What the hell is wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?" And this is coming from a man whose two favorite acts are Crosby, Stills, and Nash and the Grateful Dead. So maybe it's not as complex and noodly in his mind as the Grateful Dead. There's not enough superfluous guitar noodling going on there.
Yeah, I can't for the life of me figure out what he was thinking. And he wasn't being ironic. I mean, be hilarious if, you know, well, not, you know, maybe obvious if he was being ironic. But no, he just genuinely was like, yeah, what a simple little song. And like,
I don't know, it sounds kind of simple to me.
A ditty, yeah. As it were.
Yeah, it is a complex song. We were talking about this earlier. I thought it was an odd choice to release as the first. It was the first single off of that album, OK Computer, which went on to sell millions of copies, was not the most successful single. I believe that was Karma Police. But Karma Police was a much simpler, I mean, it's a piano ballad. There's a lot going on in this song. It's brilliant, but it's complicated.
Well, and I have read before on what this band's process is like, and it sounds like their typical MO is that Tom York goes off and he writes these on piano, and then the other musicians, all of whom are, you know, expert at their instruments and highly accomplished, and most of them hyper literate to boot, like, will go and then, you know, once he's given them whatever the track is, they'll roll around in it for a few days and then noodle up their own particular part of that, and they come back and put that together. That's what I recall.
Sometimes my dog rolls around in it, but it doesn't come back with something as great as a radio.
Do you have a dog in a house full of six cats?
Two.
Good
yeah,
boy,
he lives
man.
In a menagerie.
We bought a zoo, as it were.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, terrific record, and I think it also says something. It speaks to the idea of just how big Radiohead were getting at this time, that a major label just went like, oh, yeah, you clearly put out that complex, you know,
yeah,
thoughtful song.
Bizarre thing, yeah, that nobody would ever normally listen to on the radio.
It almost seems like to me that was well thought through, that they were going to put out the most ambitious song on an incredibly ambitious record to sort of make a statement like, you know, hey, guys, here we are. This is what we did. Like,
well,
know,
and to
get
tie,
used to, it.
To tie this back to Space Hog, like, Kevin, you're the one who, when I was living in the aforementioned Fort Wayne area, you came up for, like, Christmas or something, and you brought a cassette of the Bends, and I'm like, why the hell do you have a Radiohead cassette that you want to play in my car?
And I'm like, why the hell did you have a cassette at that period of time?
Well, it was 1996.
Again, why did you have a cassette?
Well, relax.
I can't get in the Wayback Machine for you, Shane, but apparently I had one, and I do. I love that record, too.
Yeah, okay. So all I knew of Radiohead at the time, analogous to Space Hog, was Creep, you know, off Pablo Honey, and I was like, okay, well, that's a fairly catchy little song from a band that I'll never hear of again. So Kevin shows up, like, next Christmas with, like, this cassette and plays the Bends, and I'm like, Jesus, I didn't know this band was capable of that. And after that, they come out with OK Computer, and they up the ante.
Yeah, they were at the top of their game when this album came out, and this song is a great indication of what that accomplishment was like, for sure.
Yeah.
Why don't you play some of it?
Should we spin it?
Yeah, this is going to be it's going to be hard to give a general overview of this song since it changes so much. There's so many permutations in it, but I'm sure it'll do a good job of finding something.
All right, here it is, Paranoid Android.
Minutes ago when I said that I try to pick two songs from the same time period as diametrically opposed as I could think of. And the first one I thought of was Extreme More Than Words, but the second one is Sir Mix-a-Lot Baby Got Back, which
is lot like Extreme, if you think about it.
They're relatively similar lyrically.
Well, thematically, they both just kind of want to get busy.
There is that.
So. Well, one of them is more than words. The other one is a lot of words. About
butts.
About butts.
Here's the thing that I originally thought of is like, wow, this is a guy that's really into backs. Like, he really likes the backs.
He likes the backs a whole lot. Yes. Yeah. Spines.
Yes. He's
what have you. shoulder blades. Yes.
Sure. Yeah. But come to find out, it's not actually about that.
No, it turns out he likes the booty.
It is about the behind.
The rear.
That is true. Did you guys watch the any of the video?
I did. I did play for everybody the Brian Williams mashup that they did on the Tonight Show.
Which
that.
Kids, if you haven't seen that, look it up. It's absolutely worth it.
It's super special.
Yes, yeah, so nothing else to see Kathy Lee say "me so horny."
I did watch the official video before coming over here, and man, a lot of derriere imagery.
Well, I've written down a lot of things that they show. There's oftentimes, and well, before we talk about the video, let's talk about the song itself. I have to say, it's irritating to me, incredibly irritating to me. If you take out the humor element of it, it's the music itself. It's just constant keyboard horn samples. Blaring like a car horn constantly,
it's a bad song that gets away
song.
On its gimmickry.
That's exactly right. They spent zero time on the music,
and it came out at a time when there were the height of Tone Loc's career and whatever. When there was a lot of shit like this that was getting airplay.
Yeah, true. I mean, but
yeah, your funky Cole Medinas and whatnot, and this just amped it up to its nth degree. Like, how far can we go with this trope?
I also think that it's pretty fascinating that that homeboy is from Seattle. Like, he's a big...
Oh, and this was grunge time.
I know.
Oh, like, I completely forgot about that, but I have to tell you this real quick. Skylar, my wife, and I were visiting Portland, Oregon a couple of years ago, and we went into a convenience store, and the guy in the convenience store was playing, and he was a young... bearded white guy with Sir Mix-a-Lot cranked up, and it was Baby Got Back when we got in there, but then it went to another song that was not that, which I was unfamiliar with. But people kept walking in the store and immediately breaking into dance when they heard this Sir Mix-a-Lot. It was the most bizarre. We were just standing like, does this happen often? Like the Sir Mix-a-Lot dance party. So while I asked somebody, I was like, have you ever come into the store before? We're all just, we're a team at that point. And he's like, no, but he's from Seattle, right? Which
Pacific Northwest,
me.
I guess.
I don't see that as a.
It's
as
like
a
going
of,
like, hey, he's from Dallas. We should line dance,
and buy shiny things together. Like, I don't know, how does that work?
So, in remarkably simplistic, annoying music, very, very annoying, and very loud. It's mixed really loud, and it's not – and how you felt about the Beastie Boy is always yelling at you. I think I just feel like he's just yelling all the time about the whole one long song is just a – it's only, he states it in the opening sentence of the song, I like big bucks and I cannot lie. But then it's 4 minutes of just yelling about you're not good enough for me unless you have that big butt, and then I'm going to take you home and get with you when you do have a big butt.
Well, okay, so I've got a couple of takeaways
tiresome.
From this, sure. and I want to throw to Kevin after the first one, and then I'll come back to the second one. The first one is, so I just happen to have gone to college for radio, TV, film, so I know a lot of things.
Ooh, college boy.
Yeah, that's right. I'm super goddamn smart. So everybody, worship me and whatnot. However, no, like, but I do just, it makes me think about things a little bit different Kant sometimes. So that's the word, right?
Like a philosopher?
Not Immanuel Kant, but, anyway, I look at things from a different way. So, like, watching this video before I came over today, I kept thinking about, like, how they had to cast for girls with, like, big butts and then, like, hire somebody to, make the set design for the large buttocks that they would dance around. And, this was a professional operation. I don't know what label he was on, but, like, you know, they were looking to make some money, and so, you know, somebody had, like, a whole, you know, casting design and whatnot, and...
I bet it wasn't Sub Pop.
It was not Sub Pop. I can pretty much guarantee you that. But no, it just kind of made me think of, like, you know, like, well, okay, so, like, you're talking to some girl's agent, and, like, yes, we're casting a music video for women with large asses.
Sure.
And please send her, like, the largest assed women you have over.
Yeah.
to
a significant following.
To try out, yes.
What I found amazing was there were two distinct things that they did. You know, we're talking about the visual iconography, as it were. One is they would occasionally flash a word on the screen, in like in the form of like some subliminal, something subliminal. Like one time they flashed the word bubble, one time they flashed the word thick, but most often they would just randomly show fruit, and some of these fruits made sense. For example, a banana. And then a pear. They showed a pear, but it had like a, which made kind of no sense. And then they showed two lemons. And when they showed the lemons, they moved them upward invisibly. I guess it was representing some breasts that then got turned up. It made no sense to me, but it obviously was meant in a sexual connotation.
Well, I was with you with the banana.
No.
That's penile.
Right, exactly. But
the pear, like probably a woman with a large,
sure.
As Kevin would say, a rather large following.
Well, look sure. Here on my notes. It's a banana, a pear, and then lemons. I have a question mark after. I don't really understand, but I do. The last thing I want to say about the fruit is that at one point a woman is dancing, wearing a belt that is completely strung all the way around her waist with hanging bananas. There's a lot of fruit in the video is what I guess what I'm getting at.
And so really the lesson, the takeaway there is eat healthy, kids. Like that's you want a balanced diet.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, this
if
was
there
actually
were like an alternative or
this
ulterior.
Was Michelle Obama's like first foray into like getting kids to eat healthy, and she just wasn't that focused yet.
We're going to give them a song they're going to love about sex, but slip in a bunch of fruits and vegetables so they'll associate
it's a subliminal advertising, what? Yeah.
Who's the sweaty Barker that's in that room? Like, that's just weird.
That's just my record label executive.
There is
in between the lines of blow. Yeah.
There is a reference to FloJo, Florence Joyner.
Sure,
this,
sure.
So that kind of dates it right there. Looking at the lyrical content of this song, you know, he's kind of putting it all out there. Like, there's nothing subtle. There's not
a lot of subtlety in this one.
Well, should we play it?
Oh yeah. I think we've said what we had
well,
to say.
Well, no. I've got a little bit more to say. I made some notes.
Okay,
oh, please.
All right.
I made notes about the anaconda.
Oh, good.
Thank you for saying that when I had liquid in my mouth.
Were you about to spray?
Yeah.
So, you know, evidently, this gentleman had an anaconda in his pants. So I just made some notes about anacondas.
Oh, please share.
An anaconda can reach more than 22 feet long. The average weight of an anaconda is between 66 and 154 pounds.
It's just. You would need hammer pants, I think, to try.
At least.
reinforced hammer pants.
Yeah. There has been a $50,000 prize offered to anyone who can catch an anaconda longer than 30 feet. But as to date, it has not been claimed.
Well, are you crying? Are you crying,
He's just
Ryan?
So moved by the contest.
I just love the line, my anaconda don't want none unless you got some, what, unless you got bon ton. I just love it. Like, it's just gold.
It's kind of the signature line of that song.
So, Shane, I'm just going to have you read this because I'm not going to do it well. This is a quote from the Wikipedia page about this song. It starts with a courting here.
According to the Guinness Book of World Records, this species has been perhaps subject to the most extreme size exaggerations of any living animal. By species, do you mean the Sir Mix-a-Lot species?
Well, I mean the anaconda.
Right, of course.
Sure.
All right, now let's play the damn song.
All right, here it is. Baby Got Back. Got it going like a turbo vet. I'm tired of magazines. Send flash butts all the thing. Hit the average black man and ask him that. She got a pack much back. So, fellas. Yeah. Fellas. Yeah. Is your girlfriend got your butt? Hell yeah. Tell her, shake it. Shake it. Shake it. Shake it. Shake that healthy butt. Baby got ballet. Here's my scandal. So that was Baby Got Back, just like the man said. And this was our special first little, it was a preview of a segment that we're going to call A Few Minutes With. And we didn't necessarily plan on making this whole sort of mixtape for you guys, but this seems like a, kind of a cool way to introduce something that we're hoping to interject into some future podcasts. And Shane, I'll throw it to you.
No, that's I couldn't have said. I just like the fact that you got the name right. I think for the first time all day today,
I labeled it. That helped.
Oh, yeah, you came up with it.
I've nearly got it. It's what is it, a few moments with
moments. I feel like we should have a piano background.
Yeah, if that's stolen what moments.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, we'll bring those back to light at a future time, and that's another thing you can send us too if you want to hear a single or just a song that you think that. We could riff on for a little bit. We're open to those suggestions, so send them in.
Yeah, and please keep sending us suggestions for albums. We are listening to that, and soon enough we're gonna review a listener-submitted idea. But it looks like we went a little bit long today, so we are going to put off our review of the Hank Williams Jr. Jim High Notes. Oh, wait, is that what it's called? Yeah, High Notes.
High Notes.
Until next week.
So, come back and see us next week, or hear us, or Theater of the Mind. For Somebody Likes It, I'm Kevin.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Shane.
Talk to you then.